To come and share what the Lord's given him, and thank you, Joe, for serving us and serving me in this way.
Well, good morning, everyone. Before we get into what I'm going to present, Pastor made reference to my upcoming birthday. But he sadly neglected speaking about another young man whose birthday's on Tuesday. His name is Charles Wall. So keep that in mind. His birthday's on Tuesday. We pray for a special blessing on that day for our pastor. Thank you for his faithful ministry, and pray that he'll be encouraged and blessed and fortified for the future, in Christ's name, amen. Okay, well, we've had a little introduction of the songs and everything about this good Spirit of God. To begin with, we do have some basics, you might say basics. One song there talked about the Trinity. And that's important to recognize that there are three members of the Trinity, of course, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is thought of as the third person of the Trinity. I said person. That's important because the Holy Spirit is a person, just as the Father is a person. And that Jesus, whether he's on his earthly mission or whether his heavenly role, is a person. And God's Holy Spirit is a person. He is not merely an influence or some kind of vague emotion we can think about. He's as real a person as the Lord Jesus Christ. He has intelligence. He has a will. He accomplishes certain things. He manages, he can direct, he can inspire, he can enlighten, and he can teach, and he does. He also can be lied to. He can be grieved and even resisted. But the important thing is that he brings spiritual life to people who respond to the call of God. And in these days, we're kind of bombarded by all sorts of confusing and even sinister ideas, philosophies, actions. You know, out there's a lot of activity of evil spirits, and we need to be alerted to what's going on, of course, but we need to have our Christian commitment remaining strong and kept stable and effective by the genuine work of God's Holy Spirit. Every Christian needs to know him, the Spirit of God, intimately, personally. That's important. We need to know his friendship. Yes, he's a friend to us. We need to know his guidance, his leading, his control, and is empowering to make us what we ought to be. You know, we would not be Christians if the Holy Spirit wasn't working in our experience. I've been involved in studying about the Spirit of God, kind of a renewal time for me, for several months now. And one thing that came across as much as anything, I guess, is how much the Holy Spirit worked in the life of the Lord Jesus. First, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then, as he began his earthly ministry, he was baptized or anointed by the Holy Spirit. And he was empowered by the Holy Spirit to heal people. That's spoken of specifically. And he cast out demons by the Holy Spirit. And even in the process of obtaining our redemption on the cross of Calvary, the Spirit of God was at work. And especially in that dark tomb, the Spirit of God accomplished his resurrection. And that's something very significant. But then it comes down to us and our particular connection with God's Spirit, what it means to us today as believers. We know as believers, we are the beneficiaries of this work of God. First, through the sacrificial and work of Christ on the cross and then his resurrection. But, you know, it's the Spirit of God that makes these things real to us. The Spirit of God accomplishes things, but he also teaches and brings them to our attention. It boils down to the fact that we wouldn't even be Christians if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit's work. When we receive by faith the forgiveness of our sins, it's the Spirit of God working to lead us into truth. You know, a lot of people can hear about spiritual things and be indifferent to them. But when the Spirit of God is operating in a heart, when that heart is open to the Spirit's working, then things change. Things become real. They become significant. And that's important. It's the Holy Spirit that brings to us, again, what Jesus accomplished for us. Here's a passage from Ephesians. That he would grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So there's no competition between the Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. They're ministering together in our experience. The Spirit of God to make the things of Christ real. We'll see that a little bit more. But we all, it's easier, I think, in thinking about it all to feel that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, and that's very meaningful to us. And sometimes perhaps the work of the Spirit isn't so real to us. We're not so aware of it. Well, we need to be aware of it. And by God's grace, we can be. Because our lives would be empty, really empty, if we didn't have the Spirit of God working to make the things of Christ real to us. And so that is the primary mission of God's Spirit, to make the things of Christ real to us. That's what he's about. That's what he's doing for us. Well, let me remind you of some of the things that Jesus had to say about the Spirit. And of course, this was the time of that when he was with the disciples in the upper room there before he was going to be led out to be crucified. And I'll just take excerpts from what he had to say, but John 14, 26, he says, "But the Helper," that's the term that's used in New American Standard, "the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrances all that I said to you." That's what Jesus was saying. The Helper that Father would send will bring to your remembrance. He's talking to the disciples, but I think it's appropriate to conclude that it extends to each of us as believers. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. There was a previous verse, which I skipped here. And John 14, 16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Helper, Comforter, or Advocate, or Paraclete," different versions use those terms, "that he may be with you forever," that is the Spirit of Truth. The Helper, the Spirit of Truth, God's Holy Spirit. And Jesus added this, "He abides with you And the Holy Spirit has been active all through the course of history, as recorded in the Bible. But in a different way, he will be in you, Jesus said. You know, we could say, okay, so what? No, that's not a good response. Instead of so what, how about so that? So that we would get the help that we need. We would find his teaching working in our experience. We would be connected with the power of God's Spirit. He will be in you, Jesus said. 15:26, John 15:26, he says, when the Helper comes, he will bear witness of me. And again, that's his primary activity. And 16:7, he says, it's to your advantage or expedient that I go away. If I do not go away, he'll not come. That's quite a reality, isn't it, to think about? If Jesus didn't return to his heavenly position, the Spirit wouldn't have come to us in the personal way that we have the opportunity now. If I go away, if I do not go away, he will not come, but if I go, I will send him to you. That's a promise. The Holy Spirit can minister to each of us in a different way than Jesus in the flesh could, in the thousands and millions and even billions of people on this earth. The Holy Spirit can be everywhere and in us, in our individual experience. And one more from the ministry of Jesus there in John. It says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He'll not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, that is from Jesus or from the Father, I guess, he will speak and he will disclose to you. He'll reveal it. He'll emphasize it in such a way that we can latch on to it. He will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me. That's the work of the Spirit, glorifying Jesus, for he shall take of mine and disclose it to you. So, things changed at Pentecost, didn't they? When the Spirit descended and came upon the disciples and the whole crowd there that was gathered that day. The Holy Spirit became, from that time on, the individual mentor, resident teacher, and so much more, our guide, our comforter, ministering to us in all kinds of ways. From that time on, he's been active in making the things of Christ real to us and to lead us into that relationship with our Savior. Well, another aspect of this whole understanding of the Spirit of God is that God intended his Spirit to not only minister to us, but to live within us, to dwell within us. Paul the Apostle understood that. Jesus said he's going to be in you. Paul brought this to our attention from Corinthians. He says, do you not know that you are a temple of God? And the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you? Don't you know that? Another passage similar says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God? You're not your own. You belong to God in a particular way. He created our bodies to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. You might speak of it as the localization of God. God is everywhere, in a sense. But, you know, there was a temple. There was a tabernacle back in the time of the Israelites in the wilderness and after that. And then the temple was built, and it was a special place where God resided, you might say, or could be found. But in a real sense, God is in each of us. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's important to recognize, that he is active and such, to be aware of these things. I think perhaps the word that describes my own response to much of anything as I was contemplating these things is an increased awareness. You know, this is something we have to take by faith. We don't always see something dramatic going on in our experience, but it's important to believe that he's there, that he is in his temple, our body. He knows what he's doing, and we can trust him, and to just have an increased awareness, build on that awareness, honor him, recognize him, see what he's up to in our experience. The Holy Spirit possesses me. The Holy Spirit possesses you. He dwells in the body, our body. He is operating according to his purposes and his design. He is making the things of Christ real, and he continues to do so. It may be a developing thing, a growing thing in our experience, building on what the basics of what we have responded to, and we found our lives revitalized by accepting Jesus Christ, but then leading us on deeper and deeper into the things of God. It is our privilege to have the Holy Spirit within us as a teacher. The Spirit of God is responsible for the Word of God, and he is the one to enable us to accept and respond to the truths of God's Word. The Spirit of God is making the things of Christ real to us and the things from his Word real to us. You know, it's we have to understand that the Spirit of God is not just given to us to sort of be at our disposal, something, a power that we can use to fulfill something we want. No, we are subject to him. He's the one to direct things in our lives. You know, some people, I've seen this sign, God is my co-pilot. Frankly, I don't like that. It's not realistic as far as I'm concerned. God is not my co-pilot. Holy Spirit is not my co-pilot. The Holy Spirit is the chief one. He's the one to take over, to fulfill his design. This isn't a matter of, okay, I can use him to a certain degree to do what I want. No, it doesn't seem to fit. Well, it says, since our bodies are temples of God's Spirit, it's incumbent upon us to do what Paul urged us to do. He says, you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. And we must, this is a statement I got from one of the books I was reading in the past. It says, we must not keep God out of any corner of his temple. The whole thing belongs to God. We don't reserve a portion of our experience and say, okay, when we go to church, we have the Holy Spirit. Or when we are doing our devotions in the morning, okay, we have the Holy Spirit. But okay, now we're on our own for the rest of the day or the rest of the week. That doesn't work very well. The Spirit of God is there to manage our affairs, to guide us, to inspire us, to restrain us, to do whatever needs to be done in our bodies. We don't have to be a theologian or in some leadership role necessarily to have the spirits active. Us ordinary human beings can find a connection to the Holy Spirit that transforms our lives, leads us on. Personally, I don't consider myself a very spiritual person. And I certainly am not an intellectual person. And I guess, if anything, I'm kind of a practical person, whatever. And I guess in the course of life, what might characterize my response would be, okay, here I am. I'm willing and I'm available. And I was called upon to do things that are beyond my natural ability or inclinations even. And yet, looking back, I can see places where the Spirit of God was guiding and operating and using me, but other places where I no doubt missed out and failed to make that kind of connection. So, but I'm very interested in up to date, even in this late portion of my life on earth, to be linked in to God's Holy Spirit. And I'd like to encourage others, you folks here, to have a greater awareness of God's Spirit. We know that the Word of God tells us that God's Spirit bears fruit in our lives. Good fruit, much fruit. Fruit that abides, as Jesus referred to. Galatians 5:16 shows us the disparity between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, and how much we need that. I was thinking of a song that we used to sing. I'm sure you don't know it, but in fact, it's just one verse, but it opens this way. The song, the title is "Come, Sacred Spirit." And the first line goes this way: "Come, Sacred Spirit, snow white dove, fill my cold heart with love." I'm missing a word or two there, I can't remember. But that's the kind of thing. Come, Spirit of God, do what needs to be done to change my character from within and produce fruit that makes me useful in the work of Christ, the process of life. Fill my heart with, my cold heart with love. That was one thing I knew I needed to get away from negative feelings about people and operate from the standpoint of God's love working through me. In Galatians, that same chapter, verse 16 says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh." Walk by the Spirit. That's the call to us, to walk by the Spirit. And verse 25 says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." In other words, it's a follow through in this. It isn't just a theological idea that the Spirit of God is within us. It manages things in our everyday experience. Walk by the Spirit. You may have seen a bumper sticker that reads like this: "I'm no different, just forgiven." Well, that's not what I conclude when we're opening up to God's work. Like the passage, of course, from 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." And that's the consequence of having the Spirit of God making the things of Christ real and working in us that way. And another verse from that same chapter says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. And we'll be effective in being ambassadors only through the work of the Spirit." Remember that that Jesus said the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. That's what he's up to. And we can cooperate in his work by reaching out and making the thing, trying, seeking to connect other people with the truth of the gospel and what it means to be lined up with Christ. Here's a quote from one of the books I read. This is from James Cumming, a book, The Eternal Spirit. It says, the believer, each of us, may receive such an inflow of the Holy Spirit as shall consciously lift him to a different level from the one on which he had hitherto lived. So what I get from that is it's a progressive thing. Yes, right from the start, when the things of Christ were made real to us, the Spirit of God was operating. And there is the term the baptism of the Spirit or the anointing of the Spirit. Each of us as individuals, and I don't know how to separate all the terms and when it all applies, but I do sense and have personally experienced that there's a time of, let's say, renewal, of growth, of a fresh connection with the Spirit of God that makes a difference in our experience. It should be a progressive thing. It shouldn't be a static thing in any kind of way. Whatever experience, this is what I wrote, whatever experience we have personally had with the indwelling Spirit of God, there is always more that we can enter into. And of course, that's the reason we're talking here today. On the one hand, nothing new can be said about the Spirit of God, the ministry of the Spirit, but there can be a renewed or expanded awareness of His presence and of His action. So today, if we hear His voice, let us not harden our hearts, but rather respond to what He's calling for each of us. In that song that I mentioned, the last phrase in there was, each pressing on with zeal to be a living sacrifice for Thee. That's our privilege of cooperating with God's call to the point where we're led on into what it means to serve God, to live our lives not through just the worldly values, but the thing that God is calling us to. So the opportunity is before us to have our lives enriched continually by God's Holy Spirit. Quite a number of other things I could bring to you, but back in the chapter 8 of Romans, there's quite a lot of references to the Holy Spirit, 16 different references in that one chapter, and I've looked it over quite a lot and recently, but also my wife and I are reading from the Message paraphrase of the Bible, and just for interest's sake. And this is what I notice in that 8th chapter of Romans, 2 or 3 thoughts that put it in different language in the Message translation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. And another statement from that same chapter. Instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. And that's from the standpoint, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Those who trust God's actions in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. So just the thoughts to recognize as the reality of what God is doing through His Spirit in our experience. And then to kind of close it off, I thought of the words in the final chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22. Jesus says, I'm coming quickly, and I'm the bright morning star, whatever. Then he says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And that's what I could respond to. Well, I want to say, come, Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God knows how to make these things so real to us that that is the focal point of our lives right up to date. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reality of your Spirit working in us so powerfully, making the things of Christ real, leading us in all kinds of situations where otherwise we would miss the mark. Thank you for the privilege of having God's Spirit dwell within us. I pray that you will lead us into a greater awareness, wherever that's called for. I pray that we'll sense your ministry empowering us to live a life of victory. I pray that you will develop the wondrous fruit of God's Spirit in our lives so that our lives are more effective and useful in the scheme of things. We rejoice in what you've made available to us and pray that you'll continue to emphasize these things and use us for your glory. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.